It's time for the Crime Report, and it is sponsored by the Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477, all calls kept confidential, and a monetary reward issued for info that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College and an author of the bestseller, recommended highly, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, third edition. And let's not forget Joe, a highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacklin. We say a very good morning to Sarge. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing quite well. Lots to discuss here, Joseph, so let's get right to it. How low can you go, I say, when I read this one, regarding this professor, Joe Jacklin, a professor who stole some grant money for cancer research? I had to read it a couple of times to really absorb it, nonetheless, we'll see if it sticks regarding this Jeffrey Jenin, who's accused of stealing $225,000, Jeffrey Gernon, excuse me. And this guy's an associate professor of pathology. He's a director of cancer metabolomics over at the Renaissance School of Medicine at Stony Brook. Joe, a tough story indeed here. We've seen this type before regarding fraud and everything, but this one takes the cake.
No, this one actually kind of stings a little bit too, because, you know, now that I teach and stuff, I don't do the grant money kind of thing, but I think there has been a focus recently about what grant money has been going to what schools and how that money's been used in research. If you remember, we had that scandal at John Jay. They also started looking into the grant money that these professors had gotten too. Nothing's really come out of that investigation yet, so I'm hoping that everything was up on board on that one, boo. But, you know, you're dealing with situations where you're dealing with lots of money. I mean, I think it was like a $200,000 grant that he had to work on these things, and, you know, just siphoning money off. I mean, listen, this is, you know, I guess the temptation is just too great for some people who have some issues, especially financial ones. But maybe they should start doing background checks and financial checks on those that aren't going to be involved in the grant in the future. This way, you know, if somebody is in deep debt and they have some money, but maybe they don't give them the grant because it's just too much of a temptation.
It's unbelievable. And this guy, by the way, was a very well-respected scientist, conducted a lot of research, important research, I might add, before his arrest. But, Joe, the problem here for his attorney is, you know, these shell companies. You know, you create a shell company, that is a big-time flag. That's a camouflage for this type of stuff. You know, and allegedly, Jernan created these companies and then had the gall, the unmitigated gall, to build the National Institutes of Health and, of course, Stony Brook for research-related equipment and services that were never provided. Try to get out of that one. Those shell companies are a big-time sign of something inappropriately was constituted here.
Right. Well, in the downfall is one of the payments goes to his personal account. So, you know, like the old saying, you know, follow the money, and now everything is electronic, so everything is pretty easily tracked. And once the money started going into his personal account, I think that's what sets off the red flags here on him.
Let's head over to another type of situation with a sentencing of two Long Island men. They had a stock fraud scheme going, cheating investors, and a lot of them. We talk about the elderly all the time around the country. You had a guy from Port Jeff, and he had another guy from Corum. There were among a dozen people, most of them from the island, who were indicted in this scheme. This was going back to July 2017, a series of interlocking companies. So Ron Hardy, one of those individuals, and Dennis Verderosa, kind of had a lesser role in the scheme. He got a sentence, I think, 6 years. The other guy led the way with, got 10 years. Talking about a $147 million stock fraud scheme there, Joe.
Yeah, and, you know, they got their sentences were pretty stiff because they got, you know, in federal court, once the feds get a hold of you, you're going to do time. And I tell you, you don't know where you're going to do it either. Like I said, you wherever out in the country. But, these companies and the schemes, you know, went from Los Angeles, San Diego, Florida. I mean, it was all over. And it's just, they refer to it as a pump and dump scheme, you know, where they would talk about the stocks and then talk them up and then dump them on the people. And then that was it.
Yeah, a very tough one, but we've seen those before, those two getting a sentence there. Let's head over. This is a strange one out in the Bronx. You had a couple of officers chasing a couple of guys into a deli. This was around 2 a.m, and while searching the store, apparently, an employee gave them permission to head down to the basement. That's where they found a 49-year-old man who told them he had been kidnapped 3 days earlier in the Bronx, taken to the store, bound and beaten. Very strange story there, Joe, right in the Bronx.
No, that was a head scratcher. That's actually the precinct I used to work at. So when I saw the thing, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, I mean, here is a prime example about they're just enforcing a marijuana thing. That's what people would say, right? It's only marijuana. And the marijuana leads to, you know, probably saving this guy's life. I mean, he's tied up in a basement in a bodega in the Bronx for days. We're glad that they found this guy, because if not, he would probably have been dead by now. But, yeah, they arrested this woman who owned the bodega. And, investigation's ongoing. They said they're still looking for three other individuals that were involved in the kidnapping. So we'll have to follow the story and see how it ends.
Very disturbing indeed. What about the 8 people from Long Island and Queens? They're facing federal charges for allegedly selling millions of deadly opioid pills. So all throughout the country is one of those black market deals, Joe. You're talking about residents that were at a Deer Park and the Plainview. Also, I think Dix Hills it was. Arrested the charges of conspiring to possess with intent to distribute. The Tramadol, we've heard of that. It's a synthetic opioid. That was throughout the throughout this investigation. Apparently, the alleged deal is that distributors in India mislabeled Tramadol and other drugs and then shipped them to the United States. It's unbelievable. Shipped them to the United States through mail and commercial couriers to avoid detection there. Crazy story.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Jay, this opioid crisis isn't getting any better. I know people are saying that it's getting better, but you know, when you see things like this, you just realize that this is not going to end anytime soon.
Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Joe, it looks like a new app is now going to be in place within the city ranks. The NYPD rolled out a free smartphone app yesterday, and you use on your Apple and Android devices to anonymously report crimes to the Crime Stoppers program there. I think it's a great idea, funded by the police department, and they got a lot of help from other sources, kind of the latest. You know, we've seen these high-tech advances to make the Crime Stoppers program, which is really relied on telephone tipsters. We have one here, of course, in place, Suffolk, Nassau as well. And more broadly, accessible electronically now. It's the new day and age.
Absolutely. I mean, this could be a real new powerful tool for the department to get people, especially the younger people who are into all the cell phones and apps and all the different things. I mean, this could be a groundbreaking thing for helping out with gang violence and drug dealing and the like. I mean, this is it's a great idea. Everybody's on their phone. Nobody would actually suspect anybody who is just walking down the block and typing away on. Everybody's doing it. And unfortunately, people are in the middle of the street doing it. They're driving in their cars doing it. So we're so used to seeing people do it. I think that you can actually help solve crimes a lot quicker than we are.
A great idea. How about this coin dealer from Fort Salonga? It was a cross-country consignment and sales scheme, Joe. This Harold Adamo stole more than $330,000 in a scheme that targeted coin dealers and private collectors from California, Michigan, Ohio, and right here on Long Island. They say he built 7 customers under the guise of legitimate coin deals, but then defrauded them by promising rare coins and not delivering them, issuing bad checks or promising to pay and never making the payments. You know, again, one of those schemes, and eventually, you know, you get caught. Eventually, these guys always get caught.
well, especially when you read about what this guy was doing. I mean, with the fake, you know, bouncing chicks. I mean, just like I said, once you start creating that financial trail, it's easy to get back to you. Plus, you know, you're advertising, you're selling these things. But I don't think it was that difficult for people, you know, for investigators to put something like this together, including, I mean, all the complaints that they probably had gotten in there. I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
The guy down in El Paso, nothing new there. The 22 who died back on the 3rd of August. So Patrick Crucius will be facing those capital murder charges. And in all likelihood, they're going to seek the death penalty with this guy.
Yeah, well, Texas is, you know, they're pretty high up on the list there for executions already. So I don't see that that probably wasn't not going to be on the table. I mean, especially with all the mass shootings and all the other stuff, I think that, you know, they'll end up getting it for him. And you know, this now sets up a debate for, you know, do we execute him, and then the people who, you know, who are against the death penalty, I mean, it just becomes a bigger mess. So, you know, and you have to deal with all the appeals on top of this. So see what happens. We're going to have to wait.
Indeed. All right, let's get to another story locally now. They finally got the guy. He had been stealing purses from women as they pumped gas. And listen, everything is under surveillance these days with cameras and whatnot. But, you know, it shows 47-year-old Craig Mast Andreas sneaking in the car, stealing pocketbooks as women filled up. And I think there were like 7 or 8 gas stations across Suffolk County. And, you know, here's the thing, and I always tell my family members, you know, you get out of your car, it takes 2 seconds. You get out of your car, you take your keys with you and lock up. Because you just never know. You never know who's watching you. You never know, you know, somebody can sneak in the back seat. It's just a good piece of advice to learn from this particular situation. Especially, you know.
Well, and they refer to this as sliding, where they just, you know, they count on you going out to the back of your car and pumping up the gas and not paying attention, or you're on your cell phone. Ladies leaving their pocketbooks on the front seat, guys leaving, you know, whatever electronic devices around, and they just open up your car door very quietly, and then take whatever you have right there on the front seat and close the door and drive away. So yes, I mean, I am the same thing. I do the same thing you do, Jay. I get to the gas station, I open up the door, I lock the door behind me, and I just pump my gas. And I'm not on the phone. I'm not distracted. I just sit there and watch whatever thing's going around me. I mean, that's part of the deal that you have to do. You got to be aware of your surroundings and just be aware that these criminals are out there doing this stuff. I think some people don't even realize it. So we're trying to, you know, inform the public that this is something that goes on at gas stations, not just here on Long Island, but all across the country. It's easy pickings for these guys.
Two things you do at gas stations: you lock your door, and, you know, we talk all the time regarding these skimmers that these guys put as far as where your credit cards go for the pumps. You know, just kind of jiggle it, make sure it's secure. Two things you do real quick, but really secure your car. Very simple procedure. Takes less than a second. All right, let's go to this midweek story, Joe, where a Sable man, strange one, facing gun and drug charges, apparently for building untraceable firearms, or so-called, they're called ghost guns. I haven't heard that terminology before this one came out. Apparently, this guy from parts he bought online. So this Christopher Swanson, apparently had an assault rifle, a couple loaded handguns, sort of gun parts, magazines, and other ammunition when police arrested him. And it was at the Clarion Hilton on Vets Highway, right down the road from us here. So one of those handguns, fully automatic, by the way. Good job in this investigation, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who knows? I mean, he assembled an untraceable weapon. He's alleged to be a drug dealer and the whole nine yards. And he's doing it right here in the hotel. So it's he's buying these stuff online. And one of the mass shooters down, I think it might have been Texas. I'm not too sure. Unfortunately, I lost track of all of them. We had that bunch. But he had one of these untraceable guns, too. He was purchasing parts for one. So this is something that they got to shut down, Jay. I mean, this is like, if you're going to do anything about gun control, I mean, you can have as many background checks as you want. If you can buy all the illegal parts of the gun that you want on the internet and have them shipped to your house, well, I mean, what's the sense of that? So let's get our politicians on board with this. I mean, like I said, I'm not an anti-gun advocate. I'm not a pro-gun advocate. I'm a common sense advocate, and I look at this, and this is common sense. It's got to get shut down.
There is so many avenues. It is such a mess out there. No matter what debate you pick up regarding guns, I mean, you could go into any different angle here. Now you're dealing with ghost guns, you know, at the black market. I mean, it just goes on. Background checks, you know, it's crazy. It really is. I don't even know where you start. If you're on Capitol Hill these days, where do you start? I guess you have to have some sort of a conversation that they don't even want to pick up because, again, you know, not to get too political here, but again, you know, you have the NRA and everybody else. They want to bow down before it, and that's what it is. It's about money. Unfortunately, nobody wants to tackle the issue. Meanwhile, these mass shootings take place. You get incidents like this with ghost guns, and I tell you, it's a tough problem how they can even get to first base on this. But it's craziness. It really is. Joe Jacklow on the Crime Report. Let's head over to this great neck plastic surgeon. Pled not guilty. Joe, on Tuesday, the charges, this was the guy, he had a large cache, he's a plastic surgeon, a large cache of legal weapons, and a judge lifting an order of protection, keeping him from having contact. This whole thing with his estranged wife, this Matthew Bonanno, who was arraigned, and 53 counts of illegal weapons possession next to him now.
Yeah, I mean, there's another one of those kind of head-scratchers kind of cases. You know, they asked for a $100,000 bail and it was rejected. So they're keeping him in there. He's got a court date coming up in October, I think. So we'll see what happens in October. But yeah, I mean, but his ex-wife says she's standing by him. Well, we'll see what happens.
A couple of more for you, Joe. It kind of got buried earlier in the week, but an MS-13 gang member getting a sentence on Monday, I believe it was. 50 years now behind bars. His part in the killing, the four young men in that Central Islip Park. This guy was, when he was 15 years of age, by the way, a couple of years ago. So this guy out of Brentwood, you know, listen, it is what it is. You know, we've seen this. The sentencing, the roundups, unfortunately, bodies are being found all over the place, preserves and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, you know, when these guys go to court, they're finished, pretty much. 50 years behind bars now for this guy.
Oh, yeah, this was that quadruple homicide. Remember where we talked about that at length. 50 years he got for a quadruple homicide. It might actually seem to be a little light on the fence part, but this guy, Martinez, he said 15 years old, but like, yeah, he had the wherewithal to flee from Long Island after that happened to go to Virginia, and then he went to Maryland to try to escape justice. But this is, you know, the FBI and everybody else that was working these task force cases did an unbelievable job tracking him out and finding him. I mean, this is one of those things where you say yourself, how do you find this guy when you basically didn't know who he was at that point? So they did a great job, whatever the intel tree that they've created or whatever cooperation they're getting from the other gang members or people out in the community, it's working. And you know, they got to keep the pressure up. But I just wish that they weren't getting a fresh supply of new troops so far every year, whatever they're getting.
And again, you know, it comes down to, you know, if they were juveniles and, you know, it's a good job by prosecutors successfully arguing they should be treated to adults because the killings and their previous actions for this gang showed that they were, in effect, incorrigible. So they threw the book at these guys. Could have been a lot worse, but you know what? 50 years is 50 years. Joe, one more, and that is the, you know, listen, it was a good job. You had to get out there. The commissioner of the Suffolk Police Department, we had Stu Cameron on, the chief of the department, earlier in the week. And really kind of just warning parents and kids, there's too many of these, you know, social media threats now for schools, school underway, of course. You had a couple of incidents already here in Suffolk County, all turning out to be hoaxes nonetheless. They're going to be treated as felonies. You know, if kids think it's funny or whatever, parents have to be careful here too. You know, you got to monitor what your kids are doing. And we said this all along, but a stern warning coming out this week locally.
No, I was actually happy to hear that. I mean, this is I think this should be happening everywhere, and NASA should follow suit as well as everybody everywhere else. There should be zero tolerance for anything that happens like this as a hoax. And if somebody's found to be caught, they should be fully prosecuted. And I don't care if you're a 14-year-old, they treat you like a juvenile offender and charge you with that felony. And that record goes to the rest of your life. So if there are any of these kids out there listening and you're thinking that this is funny, you are going to ruin your whole life just because you think something's funny. I mean, this is just not funny. There's just too many people dying out there and real things. And then you're diverting police resources on top of it. And that's where the real danger comes in, because as you're diverting these police resources to something that you created, somebody else across the county could need that assistance and not gotten it. So please don't do any of this stuff and just don't do it.
And listen, you're going to get in some serious trouble here, without question. You're going to need a lawyer. It's going to cost you a ton of money. And quite frankly, it's not going to be tolerated. Joe, always a pleasure. A lot on the plate. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Have a great weekend.